Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Arrangement in Gray and Black No. 1, Portrait of the Artist's Mother by James McNeil Whistler, is one of the most renowned works of art by an American artist. It is considered by many to be the most important American painting not on American soil. Better known as Whistler's Mother, the piece has been owned by the French state since 1891 and is in the collection of the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. The Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts, presents the painting as the centerpiece of an exhibition on view at the Lunder Center at Stonehill through September 27th. I visited the Clark recently on a busy afternoon, and Jay Clark, the Clark's Manton curator of prints, drawings, and photographs, met me and talked with me about Whistler's mother.
It's really quite something that this painting is here. She's one of the most famous paintings by an American artist that does not normally reside in America. She, the painting, not the mother, lives in the Musée d'Orsay in Paris. And the Clark has been collaborating with the Musée d'Orsay in a number of projects in recent years. And our director, Michael Conforti, was recently walking around the Musée d'Orsay with its director, Guy Cocheval, and they decided to lend us this painting as a sort of in gratitude for all the generous loans we've given them in the recent years.
And how is the show put together? It is, as I said, obviously one enormous main piece, but then what else is part of the show?
Well, at first we thought we could just have this painting in the permanent collection of the Clark, and then we thought, you know, it would be a great opportunity to do a focus exhibition around the painting, just to give some context about where Whistler's mother fits in his career, how it relates to other artistic movements at the time, and also how it became such an icon in the American popular consciousness.
So what are some of the distinctive points of Whistler's life that people should know when they come to the show? Or will learn as they are at the show?
He was born in Lowell, Massachusetts, so he is a Massachusetts born and bred. And his mother and father then moved to Russia. Tsar Nicholas of Russia asked Whistler's father, who was a railroad engineer, to build the railroad between Moscow and St. Petersburg. So he then went and lived in Russia with his family, and his father then died from the cholera epidemic in Russia. So his mother became a widow, and you see in this painting many, many years later, she's still dressed in black. She's still dressed in mourning clothes. So a few years before this painting was created, Whistler's mother moved to London to live with her son. He then had a London studio at the time. And probably a few days before she arrived, he kicked out his voluptuous red-haired model girlfriend, and his black-clad mother moved in.
And what is it about the painting, do you think, that people have responded to so much over the years? Why is it as iconic as it is?
Well, I think it's become a cipher for any number of ideas or concepts. When it was painted, Whistler titled it Arrangement in Gray and Black. He did not call it A Portrait of My Mother or Portrait of the Artist's Mother or Whistler's Mother. He called it Arrangement in Gray and Black because he saw it not as about the subject matter, but as about the composition. And the composition, although it's a painting we think we know well, when you actually get up to the real thing, it's very hazy. It's almost like there's a film of fog over the whole scene. It's a very unusual painting. And I think because it is so minimal in a way, it offers many opportunities for parody.
What do we know about their relationship?
Whistler and his mother were very close. She was the sort of yin to his yang. He was this very eccentric bohemian artist. He dressed in very eccentric clothing, and he had a white forelock in his hair. And so she offered a sort of sense of stability to him in his career. She wrote letters on his behalf. She was very, very supportive of him as an artist, although she was a very devout religious woman who kept up with outside people mostly through correspondence. She was a very prolific letter writer, whereas he was out in the world and flamboyant and getting in lawsuits and fights, and he was a very sort of difficult, eccentric personality, where she was very staid and somber and religious. So she offered him a kind of anchor in his career.
So what are some of the finer, I know you mentioned that people don't know that it's hazy, kind of, which we're seeing now, and it also is really large. Like everybody always says, the first time they see the Mona Lisa, they can't believe how small it is. And this is the opposite. It's really big. What are some of the finer points? How is it representative of Whistler's other work? How is it different?
Well, at the time, it was seen as I mentioned before, as very spare. What was popular at the time was pre-Raphaelite painting, Victorian painting, which had a strong narrative, tons of detail, highly realistic. And this was sort of the opposite of that. It had no story. It was, according to Whistler, all about the composition. What we see on the left-hand side is a Japanese curtain in a rather abstract fashion. And then behind Whistler's mother on a wall is an etching by Whistler himself, which is called Black Lion Wharf. And we actually have an original on the opposite wall in the gallery that shows the etching that he was reproducing in the painting, but in a very abstracted way. And the longer you look at the painting, more and more details come out. One of the things you might notice is that if she were to stand up, she'd be about 8 feet tall. Her legs are impossibly long, but it's really just for the sake of the composition that he put her seated in this way with those very, very long perspective lines of her legs.
She also has her feet on something. What is that?
She has her feet on a cushion or a footstool, which basically would have made it much more comfortable for her to sit for long periods of time. And if you look on the left-hand side of the canvas, it's more detailed. You see her feet on the footstool, you see the carpet underneath her feet, and then if you look to the right side, it all sort of disappears in this haze.
And you mentioned the etching on the wall, and you have an original here. How did that come to be here? Was it already here, or did you get it through this loan, or what did you do?
So one of the things we did when we decided to do a small focus exhibition that extended beyond just the portrait of Whistler's mother is I went to a number of area collections and looked at their print holdings. We have a very strong collection of Whistler prints, but we didn't have enough to sort of fill out the story that needed to be told. And one of the places I visited was the Colby College Museum of Art, and they ended up being collaborators on the exhibition. They lent us half of the works on paper in the show, and all of their Whistler prints come from what is called the Lunder Whistler Collection at Colby College. And as it happens, the exhibition we're standing in right now is at the Lunder Center at Stonehill. So it sort of made a perfect marriage of two institutions with the same funder. So the Black Lion Wharf comes from the Colby College Whistler Collection. It's a beautiful, beautiful impression.
Let's go talk about it. I'll walk over here.
So one of the things that you see in the portrait of his mother is a blacked frame print on the wall. So what we wanted to do, we decided to put everything in black frames, all the works on paper in the exhibition, in part because it's more sympathetic with the works of art themselves. We also wanted to frame it in a way that Whistler would have been interested in. So what we see here is a man at what's called Black Lion Wharf on the River Thames in London. And he's a boatman. He's sitting in a boat, and there's a number of buildings behind him on the opposite shore of the Thames. What's interesting about Whistler's mother is actually behind where she's sitting in the portrait is the River Thames. So, you know, although the print is on the wall behind her, it actually represents the actual scene of the River Thames, which would have been behind her as well.
Let's look at the other room. We'll see what's in the other space. So the exhibition has Whistler's mother on one wall, and then we just mentioned the other drawing on the other wall, and then there's another room with a few more works. What is in this room?
This room really focuses on the idea of landscape in the River Thames. As I mentioned, although her image is a portrait, there are a number of different works of art he was making at the same time, landscape scenes, views specifically of the River Thames, that very much relate to Whistler's mother. And how they relate, if we look at this work, for example, this is a lithograph called Limehouse. And the sort of hazy atmospheric effects you see in this print, you also see in the painting. A number of other works in this room are called nocturnes. Although nocturne means a time of day, evening, it can also have a musical association. In the same way, the title of his mother's portrait, Arrangement in Gray and Black, is a compositional form, but it's also a musical form. So one of the things he's trying to get to in his nocturnes and in arrangements is the idea of something that is not finite, something that is sort of poetic and open to interpretation, and therefore a little bit hazy and imprecise. This is another example of one of his nocturnes. This is called Shipping. And what we see is it's almost like you're looking at something again through this hazy fog. You see ships on the water, but again with without a lot of detail. And in this part, he leaves a lot of ink on the plate, a lot of black ink. And then what we see down below is a sort of abstract image of a butterfly. So as you go through the exhibition, that is Whistler's signature. There's a butterfly in the portrait of his mother, and there's a butterfly in every single work of art by him in the exhibition, but they all look a little bit different.
Do we know how he decided on that or when he started doing it?
He used the butterfly throughout his career, but it took on different shapes and forms depending on the work of art and depending on the style he was working in. For example, with this one, Nocturne, the river at Battersea, it looks almost nothing like a butterfly. So it changes based on the work of art he's creating, the feeling he's trying to get, and how he... Sometimes he signs things with his name, Whistler, but if you don't see his name, Whistler, you're going to find a butterfly somewhere, which is sort of a symbol of freedom and colorful flamboyance.
That's really interesting, especially since it is in these nocturnes, which you mentioned are you know, mostly black ink or completely black ink, a lot of gray scale, which is what the exhibition is comprised of, that there's also hidden butterflies.
Hidden butterflies. It is kind of amazing, yeah. One of the opportunities that we have in this exhibition is to look at how Japanese woodblock prints influence Whistler. In many paintings he would show a woman on the floor dressed in a kimono with Hiroshige and Hokusai prints surrounding her. So Japanese woodblock prints were very important to her. And we got this amazing recent gift from the Rodbell family collection just last year. So we were able to show a Hiroshige print and the rather unusual compositional devices in the Hiroshige and put it next to a Whistler print with very similar compositional arrangements. So you have a sort of block that stops your eye in the foreground of something very close, and then right behind it sort of a deep parallel move into the distance.
The composition is so similar, while in the Japanese print there's, you know, popping color, and then we're still looking at black and white
and gray.
With Whistler.
Yeah. And one amazing thing about this particular Hiroshige is if you look at it, you can actually see the grain of the wood in the background of the print.
Yeah, there's like a knot right there.
Knot, and then the way the rings around the knot.
That's beautiful. There's two more sections to check out.
In this room, we have a large variety of portrait prints that Whistler made throughout his career. Of course, his mother is the most famous portrait he ever did, but he did portraits throughout his career of his lovers, his wife, his family members, acquaintances, famous musicians, but he made these prints in relatively small print runs. This one, this particular print, made in the 1890s when he made a large number of lithographs. And again, we see the abstracted butterfly signature above her knee. But what we see here is a lithograph of his wife, Beatrice. And here she is asleep, sort of a very languorous pose, asleep on a chair. And she was actually very sick and about to die. So that's sort of the more poignant aspect of this, but it looks very much like a charcoal drawing, and that's precisely what he's trying to do, is to recreate the effects of a drawing and transfer that drawing onto a stone and then print it as a lithograph. This is a rather large-scale dry point of his niece, Annie Hayden, and here we see a little girl with a cape on and a big billowing dress and a hat, and although it is a portrait of his niece, Annie, in many ways, it's really more about texture of hair, texture of the curtains behind her, her dress, her shawl. He's really just sort of showing off everything he can do in a print.
She looks like she also has very long legs. Do you think that that's true, or am I just looking at her sort of costume or sort of clothing in a funny way?
You're absolutely right. She would be like a 9-year-old girl that's 6 feet tall.
That's what I thought.
But that's just sort of, we'll call it artistic license.
Yeah, of course.
So I mentioned before that he had this beautiful red-headed model named Joanna Heffernan, who was also Gustav Courbet's model, who promptly left the studio before his mother moved in. And we have a beautiful drawing in the Clark collection of her also asleep in a chair.
It's it really draws you in because it is so much black within like her white hand and white face coming out of like the darkness of the... You can barely see that. You can tell she's in a chair because of how she's positioned, but you can't really see a chair.
Mm-hmm. He uses so many lines, and it's almost like she's coming out of the darkness. Very much reminds us of a Georges Seurat drawing, which would have been, you know, decades later, but it's really sort of a hauntingly beautiful work.
And what is in the final room?
So what we decided to do in this last room of the exhibition is look at how Whistler's mother became a popular icon, specifically in America. And I worked with two colleagues in the director's office, Ashton Fancy and Carrie Powers, who really had a lot of fun putting this together. And one of the things we wanted to document is how it became specifically popular in America in the 1930s. The painting was toured around America during the Great Depression. The stock market had crashed. There was a lot of sort of feelings of hopelessness in America, bread lines, etc. And she became this sort of icon of strength and motherhood as she traveled around 13 venues in 12 cities between 1932 and 1934.
Jay, this has been fantastic. You're great. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming to the exhibition.
The exhibition Whistler's Mother, Gray, Black, and White is currently on display at the Lunder Center at Stonehill at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown, Massachusetts. It will be there through September 27th. To learn more, visit clarkart.edu. Jay Clark is the museum's Manton Curator of Prints, Drawings, and Photographs. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.